Tune to the Travel Writers Radio Show, and you're with Graham Kimlow, Sue Ahern, and Adeline Ung. Well, the well-travelled Kevin Maloney is one of our team here at the Professional Association of Lifestyle and Travel Writers, and he is currently featuring on Travel Guides. That's a TV reality show on the Nine Network about a group of quite different travellers experiencing the same destinations and their reactions, good and bad. Graham Kimlow quizzed Kevin on the culinary aspects of the current series and what challenges he and wife Janetta faced in a foreign food and beverage experiences.
It's great to have on the line Kevin Maloney, who's one of our members and lives up in beautiful country Victoria and has recently been travelling the world. As you may have seen, he is one of the stars of Travel Guides on the Nine Network. What episode are you up to now, Kevin?
We just completed the fourth one last night.
Okay, and the three
seven
to go.
In the series. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was the fifth one last night.
Right,
two to come.
Two to come.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I thought we could do today is just, because a lot of people go on these trips and they focus on where they went and what they saw, but we also, in this hour, focus on food, wine and beverages and other delights that are not necessarily travel related. But so maybe you could tell us, what are your highlights as far as the food that you had to eat? I guess there were some different offerings based on... Well, you went to be quite different, wouldn't they? Oman would be quite different.
All the various locations we went to, Graham, were completely different from each other. And, of course, that's reflected in the food, too. Like when we were in Oman, which was last week, the episode we had last week in Oman, we were eating things out at a Bedouin camp in the middle of the desert that I would probably never have considered eating. Camel, for example. I have had camel before, but...
Yep.
The way the Middle Eastern influences come into the way they cook their food just made it so enticing and incredible. It was delicious.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I probably wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. But you get also, it's not just about the food. It's about the total experience of how that food is prepared and presented and eaten.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting at long tables. It was virtually a buffet that we had.
Right.
And we'd help ourselves to it and decide on what we want. And then just sitting in this Bedouin camp, it was a magical experience. So that was probably one of the highlights, I'd say.
Yeah, I bet you didn't have to force down a sheep's eye or anything unusual.
Not there, but when we were in Phuket, we went to a night market. And there was a lot of food. Basically, it was all food. And, of course, Channel 9 wanted us to have a go at some of the more exotic things that were on offer.
Which were?
Cockroaches, grasshoppers, all of that sort of stuff. You know, deep fried, and then they serve it to you in a little plastic bag. And you've got this mouthful of crunchy, scaly arms and legs and things. It's pretty gross.
It does sound gross. But they're saying that this might well be one of the foods that we have to eat in the future.
I heard that. Well, other people could eat it. I've tried it. That's all I need to do. Once is enough for me. I'm not into cockroaches and grasshoppers. I'm sorry.
Right.
Plenty of other things for me to eat.
What about the heat of the Thai food? How did you cope with that?
We eat a lot of Thai food anyway, so that didn't worry me at all.
Right.
I think that's one of the advantages of living in Australia is that our cuisine is so influenced by particularly Asian cuisines that neighbour us. And,
yes.
You know, the Thai food, the Indonesian food, the Vietnamese food, the Chinese food, particularly the Szechuan, more hot, spicy stuff that has been in Australia now for years and years, and we're quite accustomed to it. So the Asian foods didn't really concern me, except for when we got to Japan. In Australia, we have a particular palate for breakfast, and that's very, very different from the Japanese palate. And there were raw eggs and chicken feet and gunk that I couldn't even stomach. It was, you know, I'm pretty adventurous when it comes to food, but some of this stuff was just so out there that we tried it, of course, because everything was on camera and you can't really just spit it out on the floor. But it was, some of that was pretty challenging on I must say, I've never really been a big Japanese food fan.
Right.
But there was one night we went out in Japan and there's sort of underground food scene in Tokyo where these little restaurants pop up in quite surprising places. And one of them was under a railway line near Ginza. And we went into this restaurant. It was cram-packed, and we sat on little fruit boxes, timber fruit boxes, ordered from the menu, and the guys who were sitting beside us, because you're all sitting at communal tables, the guys who were sitting beside us had this fish that they were eating. And we looked at this fish, which had its flanks stripped from it. So basically it was a head and a tail with its guts still attached and the flanks stripped from it. And they were eating this. And all of a sudden, this fish gulped for air.
Oh, no.
On the dinner table.
Oh.
So that was an experience. And I had to take a little video of it, and I did. So I've got that to proof, basically, because people wouldn't believe me that this fish was actually, for all intents and purposes, it was still alive. But I presumed it was dead, but
a nervous
air in some way, like a chook does without a head.
A nervous twitch.
Yeah, and that was pretty gross.
Were you there on your own or with other cast members?
Well, with the show, the whole premise of the show is that we all go to the same destination at the same time, but we don't interact with each other. And the reason for that is that the show is designed to extract different opinions and different feedback on the destination that we're at and the activities that we do.
Right.
So if I started talking to the other cast members, we would end up probably with a homogenized view.
A group think.
Yeah. And we don't want that. We want all the reviews to be very different. And I think if you've seen the show, people will say, one group would say, oh, look, the food was just amazing at this place. It was wonderful. I gave it 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Others would say it was dreadful. I gave it 1 out of 5.
And you didn't get together at the end and just discuss what you'd eaten or anything?
No, not really.
Right.
Not really.
Okay.
We do that. Janetta and I do that on our own anyway whenever we go to a restaurant because we've been judging restaurants for so long.
Well, I was going to say you do have some expertise in the food area as a judge of the Golden Plate Awards here in the state of Victoria.
That's it.
That's obviously on hold while you do this gallivanting, is it?
I took 12 months off from judging last year for a couple of reasons. One, I knew that I was going to be filming travel guides, and that had its way for all of the first judging season for Golden Plate, so I couldn't really commit to it.
Mm.
And secondly, I just needed to lose a bit of weight, and it's pretty hard to lose weight when you're judging restaurants every night of the week.
Right.
So both of those were successful. But this year I'm back, Graham. I'm now the lead judge, and we've got a team of about 14 judges who are about to be sent around the countryside, or around the state at least, judging the restaurants, cafes, pubs. And it proves to be a good year. There's a lot of exciting developments happening with the Golden Plate Awards.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's a little bonus bit of news that I didn't expect today.
Well, next time we're chatting, I'll talk to you about the Golden Plate Awards and what they're designed for and why they were created and how they're going and what the future is for them. So I think that'd be a good chat for next time, maybe.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. So was there any other... what was the worst experience in the food area? Can you think of one?
Well... Yeah, I can.
Well, it hasn't gone to air yet.
Hey, no, we haven't been there yet. But as you know, we're quite keen on cruising. We enjoy cruises. We've done about 20.
Yeah.
And the next week's episode is on a cruise of the South Pacific.
Right.
And we choose cruises, as we discussed in the last time I think we spoke.
Azamara is what you like, isn't it?
That's about the level that we like.
Yeah.
Correct.
Were you on a huge ship, were you?
No, well, it was a pretty big ship. It was a P&O ship that went around the South Pacific, and they've been sailing around the South Pacific for nearly 50 years. You would have thought that, A, the South Pacific ports that we went into had some sort of a food offer when you get off, and you do a day trip to, say, the Isle of Pines or Noumea or whatever. But it's still very, very undeveloped in terms of tourism, and the offers that they have are pretty pathetic.
Right.
Pretty pathetic in those ports. And I was just disappointed that this is the Australian-based P&O, and they still haven't had any influence on the ports, and they find it acceptable to serve up indescribable stuff. The best thing you could get on the Isle of Pines, I think it was chips.
Oh,
and they were cold. And
okay.
So terrible. So that was really disappointing.
Yeah, pity. The Americans who come here and cruise aren't going to like that.
No, that's right. You know, there is a certain expectation with cruises and particularly frequent floaters that the food, a lot of people just go on a cruise just for the food. And, you know, other people have different reasons for going on, but people do just go on it for the food. And all this all-you-can-eat buffet stuff on board the ship, you know, it doesn't really interest me. But what does interest me more is the fine dining experience. And this particular ship, because of its price, because of its marketing position, didn't have that. So I was a bit disappointed in that.
Okay.
Kevin Maloney speaking there with Graeme Kemlow about travel guides. That's Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Channel 9.